I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Welcome back to Keanu Believe It, the Talk Film Society podcast that is all Keanu Reeves all the time. I'm Sam Van Haren, assistant editor at TFS and a lifelong fan of the singular Keanu Reeves. I'm your guide through his diverse and interesting career. Each week, a guest and I discuss a film from his filmography, which we're working through in chronological order. On this episode, we'll be discussing To the Bone. I'm happy to welcome David Giannini back to the show once again to discuss the drama. How's it going, Dave?
Good. Once again, yes, I'm back. I hope your audience doesn't dislike my voice because I've been on this show a fair amount.
Is this four or five?
I think it's four, but I've lost count at this point. Pretty much any time you're like, oh, a guest dropped out or I'm looking for a guest and no one wants to do this movie, I'm like, I'll do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this one was just a hard movie to find a guest who's going to be like, oh, yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. Yeah, quirky eating disorder drama.
Like, who doesn't want to delve into that? Yeah, let's do it.
And honestly, though, like I thought it was a pretty good movie for what it is. I mean, I honestly, like, I was expecting with what I heard about it, I thought it was going to be kind of terrible. I mean, it's not necessarily a movie I'll ever want to watch again or necessarily enjoyed because it's very heavy subject matter. But given what it is, I can't say I enjoyed it, but I think it was, I appreciated what it did.
Yeah, it's interesting because all I had heard about it was kind of negative things. Not necessarily that it was a bad movie or there were bad performances, but I remember right before this was released, kind of hearing this buzz of like, I don't know, this could be really triggering for people with eating disorders. And I don't know if it's healthy given that the star, has admitted to having an eating disorder in the past and she put her body through this to kind of get that body back in order to play this role. I mean, that's kind of all I had heard about it. So I really had no idea what to expect. And even though it is heavy subject matter, I was surprised by at moments how light it is. It kind of uses some romantic comedy kind of stereotypes to kind of push its way through with one of the main relationships, which was definitely not what I was expecting.
Yeah, and I think it's Marty Noxon, who I've enjoyed her work on, Buffy, obviously, and then also most recently Sharp Objects. And so having seen Sharp Objects, the way that handles, again, another very tricky subject matter, I think that does a better job, but, like, that's one of the best things I've seen in a while. Right. Seeing this, I wasn't super shocked with how, again, I get – anytime you deal with things like this, it's going to be divisive in terms of, some people are going to people who have dealt with eating disorders and mental illness might embrace it, while others in the same, it's going to be, the reactions are going to be very different.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the first things I did after I watched it, I kind of, developed my own thoughts about it and then decided to go on, like, I think it was like on Amazon and look at all the kind of reviews that people left. And the vast majority of the reviews were from people who had gone through eating disorder treatment, and it was either 1 out of 10 or 9 or 10 out of 10. It was like, this is not what it's like, or like, oh my God, this really hit the mark and they did such a great job with it. So it's going to get kind of extreme reactions. So after that, I wasn't surprised that, like, if you look at the average review, it's somewhere between 5 and 7 out of 10. And that's probably because some people really love it and some people are really upset by it.
Right. And they're similar, there's some movies, like that deal with, trauma or that deal with, those are always, the reactions are always very intense, which makes sense, that they
It should be.
No one goes through these experiences the same way.
Right. Exactly.
Overall though, with what I'd heard about it and given Marty Noxon's, some of her other work, I thought it was going to be a little bit more, again, I knew nothing about it, but I thought it was going to be a little more, of a comedy, like a drama comedy, but it's pretty much pure drama. I mean, there's a few moments again that are a little light and, they're, families and, making friends and stuff, but it's still, it's for the most part, it treats this very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that's, gets to that silly place, and it kind of dances on a razor's edge of being obnoxious, is the character of Luke and the whole relationship between him and Ellen. Mm-hmm. 'Cause from the very beginning, from his introduction, the movie even kind of says oh man, this kid is a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can.
Well, yeah, his
deal
first scene
that.
Is him saying that Raymond Chandler is his muse. I think in the end, I thought I don't know, is this kid going to ruin the movie? Honestly, in that first scene, I'm like, this could go one of two ways. And in the end, I think surprisingly, they make me actually, like him at the end, which is.
Yeah, for me, just barely. It just kind of sneaks under that bar where I was just kind of waiting for it to be one thing too many, because you're right. That opening scene is rough, and it is kind of like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle this. But I think, and a lot of it is honestly because of Lily Collins, is her performance. And in general, I think she carries this movie. If you like the movie, it's going to be because of Lily Collins. And if you don't it's probably going to be because of her too. So I think her reaction to him, that first scene, you get to see her react just as the audience is oh man, this kid, I can't deal with you. And then she slowly kind of warms up to him. And I'm glad that they didn't make it super obvious. It wasn't he's annoying, and then the next scene, oh my God, they're totally in love. It was definitely, it took its time. And there were moments where they were getting closer, and then he did or said something inappropriate, and she was like, I am done with you, and walks away, as someone should. So I thought that was actually handled as well as it could be. And it was one of the things that I was surprised by, because like you said, nobody's eating disorder treatment and experience is the same, but it is very rare in those circumstances to have a co-ed facility. Mm-hmm. And to have as much freedom as they seem to have. The movie made it out 19 out of the 24 hours of the day. They kind of could do whatever they wanted, man. There are no locks on the doors.
Right.
You could eat or not, whatever, man. It was just what is happening? Except for the dinner time and some of the stuff with Retta being there and then Keanu showing up, once a day. Other than that, it was kind of okay, kids, figure it out. And I was like, that's not what treatment is like.
Yeah, honestly, I thought again, there's those moments early on. I was like, oh no, this could be this could go to a place where it's going to make me really annoyed. It's going to make me actively angry. They could have been gone to some even more tropey places with the relationship. But honestly, it doesn't. That's really just part of it. It doesn't turn. It's not. Fortunately, it's not a movie that's it's about eating disorders, but no, it's actually about this relationship.
And it's the friends you meet along the way, really, is what it's about.
but it's really not that. I'm coming at this from a very outsider perspective, but but I can see both reactions, and I think some people are going to actually, this might actually genuinely connect with some people that are dealing with that. This shows them. Again, it's not going to be for everyone. They need to be it might have the complete opposite of effect, but I could see this definitely maybe even helping some people. But again, it's not going to – it might do the opposite for some people, but who knows.
Yeah, it's a challenging movie in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of things I really like about it and a lot of things that I had a really negative reaction to. I like the relationships between all the people living at this house, and they kind of explain away all the things I complained about by saying, well, this doctor, he's really different, and he does things that other treatments don't do. So you just kind of have to go with it. You just have to kind of accept it. Okay, Dr. Keanu is just going to do whatever he wants, and you're just going to let that go. But then, there's the end of the movie, which I like that the end doesn't give you like an answer. It doesn't give you like, and she was fine. Everything worked out.
Yeah, okay. I was very scared that was going to happen. Like,
right.
Even with like, oh no, it's fine. Everything's fine. She's cured. Right. You're cured now. Like that's, right. It doesn't do that. It's very, which we'll get to as we go on. But yeah, I was very scared of that.
Yeah. But the stuff I didn't like was the kind of third act. And maybe we'll get to this more in detail later, but kind of the third act stuff with her birth mother. Which is upsetting because I really like the actress. I think
Lily Taylor's great, but she's probably my least favorite character in the movie, which is not great when an actress that I really like. But
yeah, and also not great given how the movie tries to wrap itself up. Because I think if you walk away thinking this is my least favorite character, then that ending doesn't hit. And for me, it definitely does not. And it's, you know, and that's upsetting because most of the other relationships, even the troubled relationships, even the one with her stepmom, like who is obnoxious, but it feels very real. Like it, you know, and all I kept thinking during this whole movie is like, how hard this is for people who suffer from eating disorders because there's this constant shame. Like everyone who sees you is like, oh God, you look so terrible. Or in this case, you look like a ghost and you know, like,
it's rough. The fact that this is a illness and disorder that comes partially can come from, you know, body shaming and dysmorphia. There's a scene early on where the mom or stepmom like does that. Like, look how bad you look. Like she's like, thinks, and it's like, again, but it's not saying that's good. It's saying it's bad. Like that's it.
Right.
But it's very upsetting. And that could definitely be triggering in a major way to some people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Which I think is actually why, in a lot of ways, other than Lily Collins, the most important character in this movie is played by our hero Keanu Reeves, because he kind of, I think, steps in a lot to not just have this kind of stabilizing force and someone saying better things, but saying like, forget all that. None of that matters. I mean, one of his kind of taglines is fuck fault. Like, I don't, you know, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about whose fault it is. We're not going to talk about, you know, what the reason is because it could be a thousand different things. And I really like his first interaction with the character of Ellen, where he kind of tells her, like, I think you're really smart and I think you know better than this. And I think you know what you're doing is getting a reaction. So we're not going to play that game. You know, and I love that from the beginning, he is kind of a no BS kind of doctor / therapist. And I think some people who are outside of the field of psychology especially might look at this and be like, well, that wouldn't happen. But let me tell you, as someone who is on the inside of that field, that does happen. And you do take patients on a kind of case-by-case basis. And sometimes you kind of, you know, you go along the lines that you usually do. And sometimes there are people who you're like, you know, you're sharper than this. And you can handle the truth. So I'm just going to tell you what's actually going on. And there's going to be a little bit of tough love. You know, and I think he plays that part very, very well here.
And a lot of movies that deal with – I have a little bit of experience with that as well. So like the – I always can take out – that can really bother me in a movie where like this therapist is the fucking worst. Like,
ooh, what you were telling me, brother.
Yeah, like in no world – this person should not only lose their license, but they should maybe go to prison. Like that's how, like,
you know. That's like 90% of movie therapists, by the way. And it's something that, you know, we all have our things we know about, and I'm in training to be a psychologist. So that one is very close to my heart. So pretty much anytime there's a therapist in a movie, I'm already like, oh, here we go.
Right. So yeah, in this case, like I like what you said that they like from the first point, like I think the first line of dialogue about this doctor is like, oh, he's radical. Like he's unorthodox. Like, so that's saying like, it's telling people that, yeah, I mean, most doctors aren't probably like this, and but again, some we might need that. But at the same time, like, don't be afraid that this is going to happen if you go to the doctor. Like, I think that's a good point of like, this isn't trying to be like a teaching movie. It's basically just an experience movie, and how like that maybe that can you can see that you're not alone, and that people have experienced similar things, and like, but yeah, Keanu is just. He's not in it very much, but it's just the perfect role for him that like, I honestly wish he was a little more in it, but that's just because
he's Keanu.
Yeah, exactly.
All I kept thinking during this movie is like, this is, and I even tweeted about this as I was watching it, kind of like, this is a very serious movie about a very serious topic. It's very important. But goddamn, Keanu is a good looking man. Like every time he shows up in this movie, cause he's still kind of got the beard and the facial hair, like a la John Wick, cause that's around the time this came out. And you're just kind of like, oh Jesus. And I love that they actually call that out a little bit. Like he shows up to take them on their field trip to the, like, the Rain Museum or wherever they're at. And, you know, one of the characters who I think at that point there's no clue that she is queer at all.
Right.
But says like, oh, you're going to turn me straight or something akin to that. So it's like, I like the fact that the movie calls out like, yeah, it's Keanu Reeves. He's ridiculously attractive. Let's just get that out of the way. We all know it.
Right. Like, this is it. Like, where can I get a therapist like Keanu Reeves? Like what's going
on? It's probably not for the best. You don't want a therapist you're sexually attracted to. It's a bad It's a bad combination.
Right. that scene is great. Like I love that moment. Like I was like, yeah, that
was another moment I was scared that this movie was going to take a turn into a place that got really ridiculous.
Oh,
cuz you know, one of the characters, Luke, again, this, you know, this kid from London, is supposedly a trained ballet dancer and is trying to get back into his career after he, you know, hurt his knee. And then they have a very, thankfully, very short sequence in the rain where he starts dancing with his, you know, with his hat, with his fedora. And I was like, right, please. I thought for sure this was going to turn into like some extended musical number. And I was like, oh God, please. So, but like, thankfully it stopped just on the edge of that. You know, it's just enough to get a smile out of Ellen so we can kind of move on and we can see that he is against all odds charming this girl, but it stops right there, thankfully. But I really thought it was going to be like, oh, here's another turning point for this movie where I now hate it.
So. Right. For the most part, yeah, I think it was able to keep itself under control, except that like that last scene with Lily Taylor that, like, oof. I really honestly, and the movie wouldn't be
the
any different without it. It would just probably be better without it.
Honestly, it would be so much better because I think one of the best things about the ending of this movie is how it's not neat and it's not tidy. Like, I think you can have a scene with her mom and have them come to like some, you know, minimal form of understanding and kind of figuring out where to move forward from there without her cradling and rocking her like a baby and feeding her milk from a bottle. Like, it is so outlandish. It is so over the top. Like, think about if you knew nothing about this movie and someone told you, yeah, at the end of this movie, Lily Collins, who is an adult, is cradled by another adult and fed milk from a bottle. You'd be like, what?
Well,
I don't think I want to watch
like,
that. Nope.
And the fact that, like, as we said, that it doesn't really give an answer or give a, that like, you're not necessarily going to know the reason that caused this. But then for like that moment, I thought at first, like, okay, she's offering it. And then, you know, Ellen says like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then,
that would have been better. Like, okay, weird hippie mom, weird hippie lesbian mom. Like, you're nuts. That's weirdly sweet, but we're not going to do that. Let's move on. And that would have fit more with Ellen's character. And I get that they're trying – they have this, you know, kind of moment before that where she starts hallucinating because she's, you know, baking in the sun for hours. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to come up with this moment, you know, for her to kind of move forward from. And I think that's what they're trying to do with this ending with the mom, but it didn't fit her character at all.
No, yeah. Like, again, if you had excised that and then just had I think this vision sequence she has, like, her actually is very effective. And I think, like, if that had been the weirdest it got, but, like, yeah, the fact that there's this, I don't know what they were thinking with that. Like, it honestly undercuts some of the themes and even some of the grounded nature of it just feels really
it felt like we really want a moment that people are going to talk about. This is going to be a Sundance darling, and we really want, you know, you got to have something crazy and something over the top. And they certainly did, but it just doesn't quite work, you know, especially with her kind of not just her character, but her nature and how she interacts with the world. It was just kind of like, no, she is snarky and tough and, you know, and a little bit rough around the edges, you know, and without two more hours of character work between her and her mom, there's no way this is going to make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe what I had a thought while watching it, that maybe the filmmakers were thinking that, like, oh, if we have, because she does this and then basically marches out into the desert to die. Like, it's basically like, so maybe what they were trying to say is that, like, this is her
her rebirth
bottom. There's a scene earlier.
Oh, they're definitely saying that this is her bottom. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, but I think like you didn't need the cradling. Like you could have had the fact that she went back and that because any time that the mom the first thing the mom says when she gets back there after leaving the treatment center is basically like, "What did this doctor do to you? Like, you know, this is terrible." Like, and then there's a line where she says basically like, "If you want to kill yourself, go ahead and do it. Like, I'm not going to stop you anymore." And that's like the worst thing to possibly say.
Absolutely.
And so maybe that this cradling thing is her, was kind of Eli giving up, and she was going to go die. But yeah, it just doesn't. But again, like, you could have done that without the nursing thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff with Lily Taylor that just didn't make a lot of sense. Like, as you mentioned, like, she says, like, "Oh, my God, this horrible doctor." And then, like, literally 25 seconds later, she was like, "Oh, yeah, he called to check on you." Like, you would think that those two things don't really work together. Like, this person clearly cares about your daughter, that he called and checked up on her and knew that he would come to you. And yet the first thing you say is this horrible doctor. And then offhandedly, you're like, "Oh, by the way." Right. He called to check on you. And then there's the whole, you know, her partner and the whole like horse therapy thing, which I felt was a little upsetting because they didn't delve into that. But that's a real thing. Just so people know, equine therapy is a real thing, and it has actually been shown to be really helpful in a lot of different cases. But I think they preface it in this way that's kind of like, "Isn't this weird, you know, horse therapy?" And I'm like, okay, yeah, it is weird, but like, this is not the way to put this forward in film, you know. It is, so there's a lot of that. You're never going to get a perfect movie when it comes to therapy. There's always going to be things, but it's like, why even include that? That just seems like an odd throwaway thing,
right?
Other than like, we already know that they're weird. We don't need an extra dollop of crazy from the mom and her partner. Like, we already know, folks.
And
good.
And especially in a movie that's more or less about like, there's no one right ray of treatment, and then like to have that like, "But look at this stupid thing." It's a little weird.
But this is, there's no right way, but this is definitely wrong. What I wish there was more of actually in this movie, other than Keanu, because we always want more Keanu in everything. He could be in every frame of a movie. I'd be like, "Can we make this longer? Can we stretch this out?"
Right. Even if it was a different actor, I would say we need less of this doctor.
But right.
Keanu, every fucking scene, please.
Always more Keanu. But I really like the relationship between her and her stepsister.
For sure.
I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, you know, like, I just, it was very real and really hit home. Like, this idea of, especially in the kind of family therapy session, where she was just like, basically, this doesn't just affect you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't live my life either because I'm constantly worried that today is the day that my sister, who I love, is going to die.
Right.
Like, she's going to pass out in the wrong place. She's going to be around the wrong people. Or she's just going to die from lack of nutrition because she's not eating, you know? And it was just like – and that was very heartfelt and very real. And I liked that, despite the fact that that must have been really hard to hear for Ellen, when the two of them talk after the session, one, they're just like, "Oh, my God, our family is so messed up."
Yeah.
Like, what a shit show, as she said. Yeah. But there's never a moment where she's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you said that to me." Because she knows. She knows that that is real. And it's not just something that's kind of about her and her being selfish. Whereas the rest of her family is like, "Oh my God, woe is me. It's so bad for me because you're doing this." Instead, her sister is like, "It's bad for me, but because I'm worried about you. Not because like, oh, I can't live my life, but because you might die. And if you die, I will kill you."
Right.
Like, and I love that relationship. It was great.
Yeah, I feel like if they had just focused more on that, like, then, and again, those are some of the best scenes, but like, yeah, I think a few more of those and a few less of the, like, Lily Taylor stuff would have been to the movie's benefit, but like, and even the, yeah, those are the parts that work best for me, are like her and her sister, but then also, I thought the Ruphoff stuff was really interesting and really, like, again, they're all going through different struggles, and they're going. And I think that was very important to the any time where she's like, because she's very like resistant to this, obviously at first. But I think it's convincingly, you know, wears her down to like where she like genuinely starts caring about these people, and the
right
that she's like seeing a reason to actually work at it, you know, and I thought that was effective.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I have not actually done therapy with people with eating disorders, but there's definitely a lot of crossover in the types of therapy when you talk about eating disorders versus substance abuse.
Right.
And that's what a lot of my experience has been in, and kind of worked in group homes and worked in group therapy. And it was very interesting to watch this because there's in every group you have, whether it's three people or 35, there's always one that we would say is like, I want the gold star. Right? Mm-hmm. There's one who's just like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to get everything right. And that's Luke in this movie for sure. So that was like, oh man, like this may come off as like brown nosing or unrealistic to some people. But as I watched it, I was like, oh, I've known patients like that. That's mm-hmm. a very, very real thing. But what's also real is the ideal of collusion that goes on.
Right.
In these groups. And there's her roommate who is like, you know, hidden her vomit underneath the bed. And it's kind of told her like, hey, if you don't tell anybody, I'll get you this. You know, I won't tell anybody about your weird thing where she's like doing sit-ups in bed and trying to make sure her arm isn't, you know, too thick and all that. And I really like that they included that because it's something that as a therapist, you have to really watch out for. And it was one of the things that mildly upset me about the fact that they just let these kids spend so much time alone.
Right.
It's because like there's no one to check them. You know, there's no one to be like, hey, you know, because they talk at the very beginning. We don't talk about food. We don't do this. We don't do that. We have all these rules. But most of the time in the movie, at least, there's no one to enforce those rules.
Right. I guess it's Retta, but like her.
She's barely there. She's in like two scenes.
Yeah.
She's there to weigh people. But like every other interaction, even most of the dinners, she's not there. And I was just like, and having done group therapy, like that is something that is really hard to control, even when you're in the room, is the idea of crosstalk and the idea of like, oh, this one time I got so drunk, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And in this case, oh, here's how I, you know, stopped eating. Here's how I purge, blah, blah, blah. And there's none of that here. There's it was just like these kids have way too much time by themselves. And too many rewards, although the rewards thing is also very real in treatment. Like it mm-hmm. is done on a point system in a lot of ways. Like if you have this many days without purging or if you have this many days where you eat the right amount of calories,
you'll get this stuff.
Yeah, that is a real thing and it works. So I was glad that they included that. But again, if you're doing this from the outside in, I could see seeing that and being like, oh my God, that's so childish. But if you think about it, like feeding yourself is one of the most basic human functions.
Right.
Right? That you have kind of a choice about. So it kind of has to be childish and in treatment in some ways where you just have to be like, we are getting down to basics. This is not like, oh, you know, some things in my life could be better. I'm trying to make these. This is like, if I don't do this, I will die.
Right.
So this is the most basic. So you have to really get down there.
Yeah. And earlier on in the movie, they have a point where they're like, one of the rules is like, what, you know, no one leaves the table at dinner, but then there are several scenes where characters leave the table and then nothing happens.
It's like three different ones. There's no, the rules are there, but you don't pay anything for them.
Right.
You know?
Or her roommate, at one point, you know, it's like very clearly, you know, is, over-exercising the way she's not supposed to be.
Right.
And that if there was even just one little check-in of like, you know, that just a check in with the nurse before coming into a room that like, okay, that would be good. You know, that they would catch that. But as it is, it's like, yeah, it's just this very odd. Again, I think it handles it better than a lot of movies that deal with this kind of thing.
For sure.
But it's still one of those things we have to point out that like, nope, that would never happen. That would just be weird.
Right.
But
so another thing I really loved about this movie in terms of it, like, you know, watching out for being triggering, for people who have had eating disorders is there is not a single time in this movie where they tell you how much the main character weighs.
Right.
They have her weigh themselves. They show other people's reactions.
They react to it.
They show her reaction. Yeah. But there's never a, she weighs this much and she's lost this much and she needs to get to this much. So because there are, you know, there's a lot of like pro anorexia websites out there that like view certain stars as like, this is where you want to get to. And they find out their weight and then that's their goal weight. Mm-hmm. Natalie Portman was that person for a lot of those sites for years because she is naturally just very tiny and very thin. And it could have been the same thing here, especially given that Lily Collins has been anorexic in her life, you know, mm-hmm. and there are some shots of her body in this movie, which are hard to watch.
Yeah. Very upsetting. Yeah.
There's a lot of shots of just her back and you see the, you know, the shoulder blades, and you see the bruises mm-hmm. on her spine from working out. I mean, it is a lot. And, you know, and it's within like the first 10 minutes of the start of the movie. And I was like, there were moments where I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Like, this is so I was glad there were some moments of humor and they had the right. kind of romantic comedy stuff going on. Like that scene between the two kind of romantic leads at the restaurant when they go out on their little fake date, I thought was really cute and also yeah, disturbing. Because I love that they kind of turn things on its head. Like, it's a standard romantic comedy dinner mm-hmm. date scene, but the whole time you have her spitting food into her napkin so she can taste right. the food, but she won't eat it. So I was glad they kind of did that. I was glad they didn't have the, like, because how do you have a standard date in a romantic comedy sense when one person refuses to eat? And I thought right. they handled that really well in a very smart, sharp way.
Yeah, and they also don't have, like, there's no scenes of, like, someone purging or someone, you know, right. and like it's very much they talk about it, so that could still be triggering for some people, but at the same time, it doesn't go that exploitative or route of like look how effective this is. Like, look, we're going to show this person, like, this is dramatic because they're, you know, but it doesn't do that, which I appreciated.
One thing I felt like they could have done better as far as the casting and kind of the body types is it's a misunderstanding, I think, of eating disorders that everyone who is anorexic is a certain size and everyone mm-hmm. Who is bigger is a binge eater. There are plenty of people who can kind of have the stereotypical eating disordered behaviors of anorexia and still be overweight. They wouldn't be diagnosed with anorexia because it's based on a size and a percentage.
Sure.
But it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, the big girl, she's a binge eater and she can't purge, so she can't figure out a way to do this. Right. You know, and I was just like, you know, this, especially in a movie where you're trying to like dispel some stereotypes and show how risky this is, which I feel like they do a good job of that. And there are moments where I feel like, oh, are we going too far here? Are we going too far into kind of the soap opera territory with the kind of the pregnancy and the miscarriage and everything that goes along with that? And I think what they're trying to do is just show you just how dangerous this is, because they right. have a lot of like scared straight moments where you have doctors and nurses telling people all the terrible things that could happen. So you have to have a moment where something terrible does actually happen. Right.
Right.
Otherwise, it's all just talk, yeah. you know, and you know, but you know, it is a little tiny bit over the top where you have the, you know, the girl who kind of miraculously gets pregnant despite the fact that she thought she couldn't. And then like, right. you have the scene where she's bleeding in the bathroom by herself. And that's
another strange thing is that because it's Leslie Bibb and she's like considerably older than most of the yeah. other. And it's weird. Like, is this if this is a youth center and he works at because the. She even meets the doctor at like a pediatric hospital.
Yeah.
And why is like an adult woman there? Like, again, they needed that. Again, like you said, they needed that bad thing to happen.
Right.
To show the effects of it. But I just felt weird that like, I just kept thinking, like, why is she in this facility with these 20s?
Yeah. Please? Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I was wondering what you thought about the choice to never show the father. He's constantly missing and then, you know, doesn't show up to family therapy, doesn't show up to anything. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was because a lot of these times were like they'd have the character like this is saying that sometimes the parents aren't going to show up. Sometimes this guy mm-hmm. like that she has to, you know, that basically her stepmom, who seems to be kind of terrible, ends up being the one who's always, you know, there for her.
Right.
And I felt that was a really interesting take on it. And the fact that, yeah, this dad is I feel like if we had seen him once, it would have kind of undercut what they were trying to say, that like sometimes that this person that we think should be there for us at all times and the person that should be helping us through these hard times, sometimes just going to fuck you over, just not be able to handle it. So they're going to completely check out. And I thought that was well done.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting choice, and I realized as I was watching it that I was getting annoyed that he wasn't there, and I think that's the point. I think you should be feeling that. Like, I was trying to kind of separate, you kind of separate, like, you going along on this journey with these characters and, like, you watching this as a quote-unquote film critic or a film fan. And I was wondering, like, okay, am I upset because he's not there and I feel like he should be in terms of the narrative structure of the movie? Or am I upset because he continually doesn't show up for Ellen? And she would be upset, too, even though she's hiding it and she's, you know, as many of us do, hides behind jokes and sarcasm. It's just like, oh, whatever. Yeah, that's my life. I don't really care. And I definitely think it's the latter. I think you are upset that he's not there because he should be there. And right. She knows he should be there. And we're all kind of hiding from that reaction.
Yeah. And even like her stepmom says, like, you know, even she's kind of covering for him. And a lot of the times, you know, saying like, he's busy, he's got to make a living. But then at the same time, like, there's a moment, there's even, it's not even a dialogue thing. It's just like, there's a look that her sister plays gives. It's like, oh, he's not here again, and he's probably never going to, you know, he's like.
Yeah, that look is actually one of my favorite moments in the entire film. Like, I think it's really beautifully underplayed. And if those of us who have siblings and have, like, even mildly troubled relationships with our parents, like, we've all shared that look. We're like, oh, God, here we go again. Yeah, this is standard. This is the life we live with our dad or with our mom. And I thought it was a nice little moment, again, between those two. If anything, like, I think this movie just needs more of those two together. Like, they are fantastic together and really feel like siblings.
Yeah, and both of those actors, they're probably give the best performances in the movie. And the fact that, yeah, I just wanted more of the sister for sure, like that. Mm-hmm. I think it just speaks to just how good they are too. Like that they have great chemistry, and it's the most emotionally resonant scenes of the film for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, the only problems I have with this movie are one, that kind of third act stuff with her mom that we talked about. And then something I'm kind of struggling with, and I'm not sure if it's good or bad, is the kind of the emotional kind of explosiveness of this movie, which fits because these are people in a very difficult period in their lives. And there's a lot of synapses firing and things not working out right. But the scene between her and, you know, and the doctor and Keanu, where she kind of blows up at him and feels like she's not cared about, also felt like a little bit of a stretch to me, because there's no build in that relationship, because every other interaction before that is really, really good. Like, it always ends well. It always ends with kind of like telling the voice in your head to fuck off or fuck fault or, yeah, your family is a shit show. I totally agree. We're not doing that again. And that stuff all works. And then all of a sudden she goes to him and wants something and doesn't get it and just kind of blows up at him and then leaves the program and runs off to go to her mom. And I was just kind of like, I felt like there needed to be one more scene between them where things didn't quite work out to kind of build up to that moment. But having said that, there are moments in therapy that are just explosive, and sometimes they come out of nowhere. So I'm kind of torn on that.
Right. I mean, because the way the scene plays is like he's not saying anything different than he said before, but it's just that she's in a different place now. You know, she's like, she's, cause this is right after, Leslie Bibb's character had the miscarriage, and it's after, her and, Luke have a little bit of a thing where, like, you know, so it's like, she's just and there's a montage before that showing that she's like completely, she's like going on a tailspin, having a complete negative reaction to the, you know, she's, like, completely failing. The program's completely failing for her at this point. And so, like, when he says something about, like, basically, you know, grow a pair, he says, like, it's like a less, more apt, less delicate way of saying what I'm trying to say. And so that's just, like, it was the worst possible time for her to hear that. And it's more about her, you know, the reaction she has. And another, you know, I agree that, like, it could have, you know, as a movie, maybe we didn't need another scene of them, you know, not working, but as far as it goes of realism of dealing with these kind of things, that it's not completely out of the ordinary that stuff like that could happen.
Yeah. I think the only other thing is, like, you know, I already talked about in the very beginning of this episode about how, like, God, what are the rules of this place? And, like, why is this the way it is? But I love the fact that everyone is aware that she and Luke have a thing and it's going to be a romantic thing and nobody puts a stop to this. Like, this is like the number one rule in group homes, in group don't therapy, think, yeah. Is you don't, especially when you're first in any kind of recovery, you don't start romantic relationships. And right. this is as plain as day. And even in that sequence with Keanu, he says, like, yeah, it seemed like you guys were had a really healthy, good thing there. And I was like, mm-hmm. what? Why did you not stop to this? If right. you knew this was happening, why did you not step in and be like, hey, I know that you guys care about each other, but this is not a good idea right now because you are both in a really difficult position. And if anything gets really emotional and goes wrong, it can kind of tip you in one direction or the other. And we really want to keep you safe. And there's not even lip service paid to that. I was just like, what? How does this not happen? Even if it's just Retta stepping in and going, hey, guys, I'm not blind. I right. see what's Which, happening here. We can't do that.
And the and that bad thing does happen because they do have a thing where, like, that emotional thing comes up and she – that's part of what drives her to go, you know, go to towards the bottom. So it's like – yeah, the fact that he says, like, why aren't you talking anymore? That was – you had a good thing going. Yeah, it's really – it's odd.
Especially for his things. Character who is so mm-hmm. on top of everything else. He right. is shown in this movie to, like, even though they have that blow up, he's shown in general to not make very many mistakes. And just kind of like always know what's next and always know what to say and what to do. And, but this, the most basic thing, he doesn't really step up and do anything. And you're like, wait a minute, Doc.
Yeah, it's just because, like, the movie needs the
– it needs that dramatic where, explosion. Yeah.
Right. It's one of those things where the need of overrides the fact-based, you know, like idea.
right.
Of like,
right.
And so it's one of those things where, yeah, it's as a, if you're – looking at it from a more professional or more like, yeah, it's going to bother you for sure. But like, it's one of those things where I get it, but yeah,
But overall, I thought this movie was much, much better than I expected it to be. Like, I don't think it's in terms of like narrative structure or in terms of direction or writing. It's not breaking any new boundaries,
no.
but the performances really do carry it. And they are really, really affecting. Like, I think, you know, not enough of a big deal is made about how good Lily Collins really is in this movie. And of course, a lot of it probably has to do with her own history and things she's experienced, but she's really, really impressive here. And, you know, it reminded me of, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie now. Girl Interrupted. It reminded me of Winona right. Ryder's performance mm-hmm. there, which is also really, really good and really strangely grounded in a movie that is kind of over the top by its nature.
Right.
And if it's not grounded, I think the movie loses its audience within 20 minutes. It's all dependent on her, and she really does a great job and carries it.
Yeah, this movie, those movies definitely have a, that's one, that's definitely what kept going through my head is like, yeah, this is a, this generation's Girl Interrupted. And it might, again, I'm sure that movie probably had a similar reaction, especially in, I feel like in the social media age, it definitely would have had the same reaction.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It would have
Thank
been
God that insane. Wasn't around when Girl Interrupted came out. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, again, I completely agree. This movie really did surprise me. And I'll honestly, there's some very intense – I don't think I'd watch it again. And I definitely would see – I could see that it might be the – have that negative reaction to it. But as far as it goes, I've seen – movies that are handling this so much worse, and this is really it's a low bar, but again, I think it did handle it really well. And again, the performances are all great, and I think Keanu, he looks great in it, but also just I think he does a great job of convincingly playing that like charming and but no bullshit doctor that just really great casting. And it's one of those things where, Keanu always picking interesting projects, and like this is definitely one I wouldn't necessarily expect him to do, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah, totally agreed. And it definitely reeks of like, okay, I made some money, so now I'm going to pick something interesting. Mm-hmm. Like he loves doing his action movies, he loves doing his own stunts, but every time he has one of these big successes, he starts doing really interesting work. And I think this is one example of that. And the thing with interesting work is sometimes it's great, and sometimes it gets real rough real quick. So,
Which, speaking, the last episode you were on for, so.
Yeah, exactly. But it's an interesting choice, right? It's not something you would expect out of a star of a multi-million-dollar franchise, and yet here we are.
But yeah, as I've looked through, as I've been doing this, he does that a lot, though, where he, throws his weight behind him, just something he thinks is worth telling, story that he realizes needs a little bit of star power to get made, mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm willing to do that. And this is one of the best case scenarios of that for sure.
Yeah, totally agree.
Thanks so much for being on, David. I'm sure you have a couple of podcasts that you want to plug right now.
Sure. I show up on a podcast with my friend Mike, that's called The Grand Gesture, and it's all about romantic comedies. We actually did an episode on Destination Wedding, which I know you have coming up soon. So you should check out both, this show's version of that and The Grand Gesture. And you can find, that Twitter account at Grand Gesture Pod. So check that out. And of course, check out Talk Film Society, where we both work.
Awesome. Yeah, and thank you all for listening. Join me next time where we'll be discussing Siberia. Until then, keeping excellent to each other.